Well, I just wanted to share a few thoughts this morning on joy in the midst of hardship, in the midst of pain, in the midst of the coronavirus, if you will. And so if you have your notes and you want to take them out, I have mine underlined where you need to fill it in. So since we don't have the projector, I will try to make sure that I stop and let you know the when to fill those blanks in. The reality is, Scripture says that at times in our lives, we are perplexed. That's the first fill in the blank there, perplexed. And for some of the younger ones, it's P-E-R-P-L-E-X-E-D, perplexed. Perplexed means confused or not knowing the way. Things have gotten more complicated and we're not sure what to do. But Scripture says that even though at times we are perplexed, this isn't something that should surprise us. We shouldn't think that we're going to have all of the answers or that even our lives are going to be smooth and just living happily ever after. That's not going to happen in this world. Jesus said in John 16:33, well, the fill in the blank there is we should expect it. We should expect to be perplexed at times. Jesus said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So Jesus says that we can expect to experience trials and tribulations while we remain in this world. Peter said it in a little bit more lengthy way this way. He said, "Beloved, do not think that it is strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator." So we are going to experience trials and tribulations. We are going to experience persecution, and we should not be surprised by that. Christ experienced those same things here on this earth, and so we should not expect anything else. But what we should do is make sure that our conduct is such so that when we are go through trials and tribulations, we know that we are honoring God by doing good. And we need to make sure that we're not putting our faith in our ability to save ourselves, but we're putting our faith and trust in God, and we're committing our soul to him. Now, Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that we are perplexed, but we are not in despair. We are not in despair. That's number 1B there. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Paul says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul here is saying that yes, we are going to go through trials and tribulations as we live this life. But we don't have to be in despair. We don't have to be down about this because we know what's going to happen. We know that this body is going to die eventually and that we are going to be with God in heaven. That is our ultimate hope. That is our ultimate, that's what we're putting our faith in. That brings us to point number two. We put our hope in God. We put our hope in God. One, for salvation. That's a for salvation. John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So oftentimes we think of our Christian life as something where God is doing something for us so that we can have a better life here on this earth. And that is partially true. God does want us to have an abundant life, full of love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and gentleness and self-control and all those other fruits of the Spirit. But so many times the things that we think of as a good life, money, nice cars, right? Health, all of these sorts of things, those are not the things that God has promised us. Instead, he is looking for us to experience that in everlasting life. He wants to save us out of this world that is corrupted into eternity, which is going to be perfect. So we trust God for salvation. We put our hope in him. And we also put our hope in him for eternal life. Eternal life. 2 Corinthians 4:13 through 15 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed, therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." And so here's what Paul is saying, is that we're putting our faith and trust in Jesus Christ for our salvation, but for eternal life. That's our goal. That's what we're trying to get to, is eternal life. And when we recognize that Christ has already risen, he's already at the right hand of God, we know that our faith is also going to accomplish the work that we set out to do. We are also going to experience eternal life. We know that God will raise us up with Jesus, and we will be presented, and we will be holy in Christ's righteousness. And if we focus on that, it should, in our heart, bring together a thanksgiving. It should cause all of us to have a joy, a peace in our life, that no matter what happens here and now, it's going to be okay. No matter what happens to this body that I walk around in, I know where I'm going. I know what my destiny is, because Christ has already risen. It's already been accomplished. It's kind of like the last day of school, right? You go there, and most of the kids don't pay attention. Can I get a honk from a few teachers out there? There we go. Why? Because they know no matter what happens on the last day of school, they're out of here, right? It's all good. Everything's already been determined. And that's how we can walk through life as Christians. Once we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, it's all good. It's all good. Because now we're just living our life for his glory, for his honor. And whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. our eternity is secured. We are at rest in Him. We put our hope in God, and we are not put to shame. Number three, through faith, we can experience joy in all circumstances. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18, he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so the pain that we go through in this life is a temporary pain that leads to an eternal glory. Because this temporary pain that we have in this life will go away. But the glory that we receive in heaven by being in the presence of God forever is eternal. It will never end. And so we don't have to worry about this temporary pain. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt. That doesn't mean we're not going to experience loss and sadness and we're not going to grieve. We are going to grieve. We are going to experience sadness and sorrow. I mean, death is nothing new to any of us. I'm sure all of you have lost somebody that you love. But this temporary pain is temporary. And we must remember that. And we can have peace and we can have joy even through that times of pain because we know the ultimate plan. We know where we're going. We know what's eternal. We can also have joy through testing. Some of the pain that we experience in life is a testing of our faith. And so the number B there, or let's go back to A. A is temporary pain leading to eternal glory. Temporary pain leading to eternal glory. And then number three, B, is joy through testing. Joy through testing. James in chapter 1 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now that sounds like are you being serious? Come on, James. Are you being serious about this? He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Is it because we're in various trials? No. Is it because we're experiencing pain? No. Discomfort? No. Why would we have joy in trials? Well, he tells us. Because we know that the testing of our faith produces patience. And patience, let it have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So these trials and temptations that we go through, it strengthens our faith. It allows us to mature in our faith. If we never experienced any trials, any testing, we'd say, "God, I believe in you. I'm going to live my life for you. I'm going to do whatever you want me to do." And then these trials come along and they allow me to realize, you know what? I'm not quite at the commitment level that I just told God I was at. Right? I told God, "Hey, I'm committed to you in all things." But then this little thing popped up and whoa, it exposed to me that my heart is not quite where I thought it was. And so trials are a testing of our faith. They allow us to see us for who we are, where we're at. And as we mature and grow in patience and faith, then we become more perfect. We become more complete in who we are in Christ. And so James is saying, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, because you're going to see your faith increase, or you're going to see where you need to increase in your faith. Letter C is joy through trials. Joy through trials. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's really the message that I wanted to bring to you today. That we have a living hope. And it's through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's also given us an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away. And it is reserved for you in heaven. Today, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have an inheritance waiting for you. There's nothing that can take that away. It's secure. It's yours. Who are kept... Oopsie, better keep that page. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and full of glory, and receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I want you to read that passage again throughout this week. What a beautiful passage it is. We put our faith in Jesus Christ. We put our hope in him. He secured for us eternal life and an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's waiting for us. The moment we leave this body, we will go into the presence of the Lord and we will receive this wonderful inheritance. And we are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. In Romans chapter 8, it says, all of creation is moaning and groaning, eagerly waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. That's me and you. And we ought to rejoice. We really ought to rejoice. Because, we are going to go through some trials and tribulations, some sickness and disease. But it's nothing. It's nothing compared to what we're going to experience in eternity. And this little time of pain, this little time of temporary sorrow, temporary pain, is testing our faith. What are you putting your faith in on a daily basis? Is it in your ability to provide for yourself? Are you putting your faith in the government to provide for you? Or are you putting your faith in God? That's the test. Where is your faith? Where are you looking? As I said last week, fear and faith are both believing something about the future. And we need to put our faith in God. I want to make one last point here, and that is be vigilant. Be vigilant. What does that mean? Vigilant means circumspect or watchful or attentive to discover and avoid danger or to provide for safety. I don't want you to think that having faith and trusting in God does not mean to be watching out for the safety of your family. It very much does mean that. We put our faith in God and we do the things that He would want us to do. And part of the things that He wants us to do is to be vigilant, to be responsible and take care of our families. In 1 Peter 5:8-11, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So, we are going to experience trials and tribulations, but we must be vigilant. Vigilant in our spiritual walk. We must make sure that our faith is secure, that we are not doubting. But also in our physical life, we need to be vigilant. At this time, we need to make sure that we're being healthy. Make sure that you're getting good rest. Make sure that you're not filling your life up with stress. Make sure that you're exercising. Make sure that you're taking vitamins. And all the things that look like health in your spiritual and physical walk, yes, be vigilant. Make sure that you're providing for your safety and for the safety of your family, both spiritually and physically. But our main focus, the reason we have joy in the midst of hardship, is we're focused on the ultimate end here. It's not this life. We're putting our faith and trust that in eternity, that God is going to make everything right and good. And these sufferings that we experience today are just temporary. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it is a great blessing to be with my brothers and sisters today. After missing them so much for the last couple weeks, even though we're in our cars and a little ways away, it's just so good to be together. So Lord, I just thank you for them. I thank you for where they're at. And Lord, I just pray that you would just give us each our daily bread that we need to sustain, to go forward. And Lord, we know that you love us, Lord. We know that you love us. And so we can walk through this journey together knowing that you are for us. And there's nothing that can separate us from your love, not even death itself. And so, Lord, we thank you for this peace that we can have. We can put our faith in you, and our hearts are guarded against so many devastating things. Lord, as we walk through this journey together of life, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see where we can love one another. Help us open up our eyes so that we can see the ways that we can minister to those around us, even in this new world that we live in. Lord, I just thank you so much for this time to remember that even though we have a lot of confusion, even though we are perplexed, Lord, we know where we're going. We know the end. And Lord, this temporary thing that we're going through will come to pass, will come and it will pass. But Lord, our faith in you will remain. And we love you and we trust you. So Lord, we just pray that you would continue to minister to us both through your word and through fellowship and through song. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.